I don't know if you have ever noticed this before, but Jesus is often a lot bolder than we tend to be, or at least than I tend to be. You know, the Gospel of Nice says that we don't call each other names, right? And I think that's generally a pretty good rule of thumb. But sometimes the stakes get pretty high, and it can be good not to beat around the bush, just to call a spade, or a Satan. Today, apparently, Jesus sees the stakes as very high. High enough to call Peter, the head of his disciples, a Satan. Literally, an adversary. So what are those stakes? And why are they so high? The stakes are about identity. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Jesus is saying that His identity is, and should be for us, a matter of the highest importance. Is he just a prophet? The Old Testament is filled with dozens of prophets, none of whom were able to prevent the people of Israel from breaking the covenant over and over again, leading them to suffering and exile and death. And Jesus neither agrees nor disagrees with the evaluations that he's a prophet. Meaning, I think, that he is. But that's not enough. When Peter says, "You are the Christ," Jesus accepts that title. But then he immediately warns them not to tell anyone. "I am the Christ, but don't go telling anybody else." Why not? In today's gospel, he explains why not. The word Christ literally means anointed one. Jesus is God's anointed one, but anointed for what? He has a detailed answer for that. He's anointed to suffer greatly, be rejected, be killed, and to rise after 3 days. From that first reading from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus could also have said that he's anointed for obedience to the Father, to hear, not to rebel, not to turn back. He's anointed to be beaten, struck in the face, spit upon, to have his beard plucked out of his cheeks. Notice that all of those sufferings are voluntarily accepted. I gave my back to be beaten. I gave my beard to be plucked. I chose not to shield my face from buffets and spitting. This is no weakling getting picked on. This is the Christ choosing to suffer in order to redeem our suffering. Now, apparently, this is not what Peter had in mind when he called Jesus the Christ, because then he rebukes Jesus. Now, I don't like to call people names, right? But I would be even more afraid to tell Jesus, "You're wrong." However, I think you and I probably do that all the time, really. Peter wasn't just rebuking Jesus for talking about Jesus' suffering, because Jesus' suffering definitely had implications for Peter's suffering as well. Peter was saying, "Jesus, I don't want you to suffer." But he was also implying, "I don't want to suffer either." Let's cut this out right now. Let's nix this in the bud, big guy. And I can't tell you how many times I've channeled my own inner Peter in that regard. And who of us hasn't, right? And I think Jesus the Christ knows and understands that. He struggled with that idea himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? But that's why the identity of Jesus, not just as the prophetic Christ or the triumphant Christ, but as the suffering Christ, is so important. Important enough to call Peter a Satan, an adversary for trying to stop it. Important enough to tell the disciples not to talk about it until after the cross and resurrection, because no one would get it. We still struggle to get it. The suffering Christ takes on himself every suffering, great or small, that you and I endure. And he nails it to the cross, and then he rises above it. It means that our suffering, great and small, has the redeeming Christ right in the middle of it. We never suffer alone, or without hope, or without meaning. I'll never forget the words of a 14-year-old girl who was a paralytic in a wheelchair. Someone who knew the meaning of suffering, right? She was responding to people who were telling her that they just couldn't see what meaning or value her life had anymore. If they were in her position, they would want to die. She said, "People don't know how beautiful physical weakness can be. Within it are eternal lessons that can be learned in no other way." That's from a 14-year-old. "How beautiful physical weakness can be. Within it are eternal lessons that can be learned in no other way." It's precisely Jesus' identity as the suffering Christ and the risen Christ that changes the world, that gives that kind of wisdom to a 14-year-old girl, and that changes everything about our lives. There's no part of our lives that's not redeemable by this Christ. And sometimes we can even experience part of that redemption in this life, though Jesus' triumph came after his death. We have to remember that. And the resurrection. And the most important part of our redemption will only come in the resurrection as well. This is why the identity of Jesus is important enough to call Peter Satan. He wasn't mocking Peter. He was calling him back to his side. Our second reading today from St. James reminds us that the identity of Jesus has very practical implications. Jesus' identity is not just a head trip. "Oh yeah, I know who he is. I know what he is." It has to be a matter of action. St. James says, "Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works." And that's why our Christian identity is never just a matter of good intentions, or even just a matter of coming to church. It has to soak into our lives. Whether we say anything or not, can people see our identity as Christ followers, as Christians? If I take off my vestments and my clerics, can people still see something? And that's another reason why I like to give homework. So that this penetrates into our lives beyond here today. So this week, try to keep a crucifix nearby. And when tempted to complain about a suffering or even an inconvenience, remember the suffering Christ, who's right there with you. And remember the eternal lessons that you can learn from him.